Hey, this is David with Wonderful World. Thanks for joining me for our podcast today, and glad that we are together. I promised you Generation Z, and we have delivered today. So you get to hear from two young men in Generation Z, and you get to hear all the answers. These are the smartest young men I could find with all of the answers, and so they'll give you everything you need to know. So real quick, I want to invite you to go to patreon.com/life180, and when you go there, you can become a sponsor. I added actually a free video. Yes, you get to see my face. I do have a face for podcasts. But you do get to see a video and go there. But I want to jump right in today because we talked, was it 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago about Generation Z?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I got to talking and with my son, and we started talking about, hey, podcast, coming on the podcast, getting some guests, and he volunteered himself and a friend of his, so he's the one to blame. And so I said, all right, well, let's do this. So I'm going to get a chance to talk to Generation Z today and give some things that are going on in their life and some things you can learn about. So this is exciting for me. So I've only had one other guest, and that was my wife. So now I've brought my son into this mess, and he is in this. And so I'm going to let them introduce themselves. They're just so excited about talking to people. And I told them millions of people listen to this. That's not true, but maybe one day millions of people hear this. But so here's the problem. But no, I'm just going to let them introduce themselves. All right, I'm going to point because I want them to say their name and just who they are. So,
I'm Michael Hudson. I'm the son of the host. I'm 19, and I work at Chick-fil-A.
19, soon to be 20.
Soon to be 20.
Yeah, won't be long.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he is also the person who put together the intro. So you get to meet the artist behind the intro theme music of the podcast. And so I very much, I haven't paid you for that yet, have I?
No.
You can be honest. You have to be honest,
yeah.
Right? So, all right, I'll have to take care of that.
That's and, fine.
I could do the old parent thing. Did you eat this week? You know, did you have a bed? You know, but I won't do that. You know, we'll make sure you get paid.
I try not to complain.
All right. So that's Michael Hudson. So on this side.
Hello, I'm Michael Haig. I'm 18 years old, about to be 19. And I was born and raised in Ontario, Canada, in St. Catharines. And I've only been living in Georgia since October 2016.
Wow. So we've gone international now, right? Ontario, Canada.
Early.
I mean, we've got Canada representing. So we're going to stop and sing Oh Canada real quick. And you could sing it all, couldn't you?
No.
I think most Americans can do the Oh Canada. And then we stop.
That's
you know, we really don't know where to go after that.
I could probably sing it better in French than I could in English. It's been a while.
Prove it.
That might be even better. Yeah.
You have to replace your theme song.
Yeah, it might, definitely.
This Canadian theme is the intro.
So you two guys work at Chick-fil-A together.
Yep.
And Michael, by the way, hold on, here we go. So here, if you're listening, you notice the problem. We have Michael and Michael. So here's how we're going to fix this. Michael Hudson is going to be Michael, because that's who just how my brain will think. And Michael Haig is going to be Mike. All right. So they had Mike and Mike on the radio for years on ESPN, and now we've got Mike and
we're
Mike.
Bringing so, it back.
Yeah. So we're going to have Michael and Mike. But you guys work at Chick-fil-A. Let's see. You told me, Michael, Mike, that you worked there a year.
Mm-hmm. Exactly a year almost.
Exactly a year. However, your friend here left you for a while, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. I trained him in the kitchen for like, probably 2 months, if that, and then I left him for 6 months.
And then when you came back, though, what happened?
Well, I came back in February, and then he's now my boss.
So see?
Full circle. That's what you get for leaving me.
Yeah.
That's right. You snooze, you lose. Exactly. Yes. So I know that y'all have heard the podcast of, about Gen Z, and we talked about it. I want to ask you a question right up front. You guys were not aware of and don't even remember the day of 9/11 when it happened. And I think that's weird for some of our older listeners because that's such like a pivotal moment, you know. And I think that just shows your generational lines that you can't take what people know for granted.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, when I know something that happened in my life, I just presume other people know about it, and they don't. But you guys, so many things have changed. So we're going to talk about three main categories in quick fashion today. We're going to talk about technology, technology, race, and religion. See, we're not trying to do anything big here, just technology, race, and religion. And so we picked three big topics, but technology's just been a part of you guys' life. I mean, as far as you've known, do you remember a time that your parents didn't have a cell phone?
No, I can't remember a time where we didn't have a home computer. Like, pretty much as soon as I was able to take in information, I was put in front of a screen and learning how to do that. Yeah. Especially my dad is very into technology, and he kind of realized it was going to be important early, so I was taught very early.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible. What about you,
Michael? Yeah, it's very difficult to remember not having some form of technology. Of course, things are way bigger now than they were.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like, I don't remember there being laptops or, like, phones as they are today, like smartphones. Like, I remember when y'all had flip phones, we had the phone on the wall and everything, VHS, you know, but... Yeah, it's definitely way more important and bigger now than it was.
But hold on, we still have, and you know, this we may need this. We still have a VHS DVD combo at our house.
Oh yeah. Wow!
But I don't remember the last time it was used.
That's a relic.
And me and my brother's room, we still have all the VHS cassettes that we used to watch.
Yeah, there's a ton of VHS cassettes, and we do have something to play it on. But I don't remember the last time any of it was used. So, as a matter of fact, I think one time we found some old Blue's Clues, VHS, and we played those. But that's been a couple years ago. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So on a daily basis, your phone. How important is that to you, Mike?
Extremely. I'm not only just for work, like communicating with my boss, but also just keeping up to date with social media is pretty important to me. I don't post a whole lot myself, just because I know in 10 years I'll probably regret whatever I put on there, but it's very important, like media consumption, just keeping up to date and just simple stuff like weather and... Yeah, hurricane, COVID.
exactly. And it's so funny you talk about memories. Some of my memories pop up on Facebook, and I'm like, what was I even talking about? I mean, I have no clue.
Mom put a Facebook memory up today from 10 years ago, so it's weird to see how huge that is. Like,
well, I know she showed me, and I got the same thing today. 4 years ago when y'all were starting school, and you were going in 10th grade, I think, at the time. And, like that.
Something like that.
And, just unbelievable. So, so Michael, when your phone, if you left the house without your phone, how would that change your day?
I honestly think I would be fine. So, like, again, like stuff Michael said, it was the biggest thing is like communication. Like, your phone, if something happens, you can call somebody. For work, it's necessary because we get texted all the time for work, and weather. Stuff like that. As far as social media goes for me, though, I don't use it often. The biggest thing I use my phone for is music. Is to listen to music and to communicate with only particular people, because I don't really get on social media. I actually just deleted a bunch of it. So, it's not a huge necessity for me. It's mostly just like a entertainment, like I said, music. I play a game on it or I just call somebody. But that's pretty much the only reason I use it for.
So here's a really cool thing I've done with young people, especially teenagers. Is if you're around young people, you never hear their phone go off, because y'all have your phone on vibrate most of the time, and it's like the next generation, theirs will ring and make sounds and dings.
We get so many notifications because you'll have like Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, those are the main ones, and you got your stuff like YouTube, Spotify, then you have your games that you have on your phone, so it's always just dinging about something that you don't care about,
surprising.
So you just get rid of it.
To me, that like the older generation keeps that on, because there's Max nothing volume. More frustrating than when you're like in the living room watching TV and you look over and your mom's watching a cooking video at max volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you got to understand, as old people, we're very proud of our ringtones. I mean, that is like a big deal, because y'all don't even like talk about ringtones, you know? No. But us, that was like,
I have like a particular ringtone, but like, I keep my phone on vibrate most of the time, so I don't even hear it that often.
So my ringtone is the theme music for when they used to announce the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan. And, you know, that was really important to me, you know. And
mine's Star Wars,
the default Apple. I'm not too proud of that.
Yeah.
But I do remember when people were, like, holding their flip phones up to, like, the TV for weird music.
Yeah, you had to get your ringtone, man. You had to
I remember. Wow, that's
all kinds of ways you had to get it. So
tube TV.
So let's talk about on it. So for apps, what apps do you guys connect to on a regular basis? I mean, what, you know, I know you mentioned some basic ones there, but y'all aren't really Facebook people. Your generation.
No,
I mean, I know y'all probably
even
if you have one.
Yeah.
It's really not something.
It's the least important to like. It, the
and why
generation.
Is that? No, seriously. I mean, because we're talking generational. Why
to be
is
honest,
it?
It's because old people use it.
Boomers.
Boomers use it. Yeah.
No, it's no, and it is true though. Like the majority of people I have on Facebook who are also on it regularly are, not to say old people, but
right.
older people. Because
I would fit into that category.
Yeah.
Of old people.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no, you're not old. Wait, I meant no. No, but, like, yeah, so you get on the, and it's also just, they post about things I don't care about too much. And so every time I would open up Facebook, I would just be met with something that, like, just
yeah.
ruined my day or just, like, some drama or opinion that I just didn't care about and I just wanted to avoid. It's like, I don't need this, so I just kind of got rid of it. And, again, like, if I am going to be on social media, it's because I just want to interact with my friends or post something stupid. So
yeah.
I have Snapchat, and that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I don't use anything else.
Yeah. What about you, Mike?
For me, Snapchat, Instagram are like my two main social medias. And the main one that some people don't really consider, but YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We both like love watching YouTube videos because.
Yeah, we had a whole debate one time if YouTube was a social media site or not. But
yeah.
it actually functions as one now more than it used
mm-hmm.
to.
Because it used to be TV. Like my dad, I can't really. See a lot of the older generation watching YouTube. That's our television now.
You're right.
No,
though.
And
yeah,
it's true.
It actually
yeah.
has changed so much. Because
also, like, all the content you're going to want to watch, like, including stuff
mm-hmm.
like sports or the news, that's all on there.
Yeah,
so
and as the cable bubble mm-hmm. has died, yeah, especially. Yeah. So, you know, technology being what it is really has shaped your world because used to you lived – around and with the people that you were just around and with, you really didn't go outside of there, and so that's created a diversity. I was sharing on the Gen Z one that we did that this is the last generation that will be majority white in America. That's and so that's you know that's it. Right now it's 52%, but it's going to drop after that when the next generation moves in. So, you guys, the idea of having a black president. Which we never had until 2008.
Mm-hmm.
That's not weird to you guys, because
mm-hmm.
having
not
a black president,
no.
yeah, because you know that it's something that y'all have been around here in the U.S. and of course, Mike, as you said, living in Canada, there's a diversity, obviously, even of language, you know, so
yeah.
a lot of different cultural differences, and so, I asked you guys this ahead of time when we were talking, so when you your friends, your coworkers, how aware are you? And when I say how aware are you of their race and their color, I mean, do you think about that? Do you notice that they're black, Asian, Hispanic? I mean, does that cross your mind when you meet them? I mean,
I was talking to somebody about this. Yeah, no, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. It was like, it was in the exact same way. I would look at Michael, and the first thing I notice is he's white or he's got a gray shirt on. But it's not like there's a so, you know what I mean? Like, okay, he's white, so it just ends there. Like,
so there's
not it's just like an immediate brain description, and that's it. And it's the same with, you know, if they're black or if they're Indian or whatever, it doesn't really.
Yeah, there's not a presumption based
no.
on that.
No,
that's good. What about
not.
You, Mike?
For me, it's not really something I notice. But if you're, like, having a general conversation, I do see, like, some things that you'd want to avoid,
right.
obviously.
Yeah,
especially with stuff in the news as
yeah.
of late. Like,
so
topics can come up, but it's, again, it's not like it's this thing, like, I got to be really careful.
Yeah.
But it's 80% of the time, it's a very casual conversation,
yeah.
like, with any other person. It's not really anything
yeah.
we could think about.
There's this old expression of being colorblind, and I understand what it means, but you still do notice... You still do notice a person is black, a person is white, a person
yeah.
is Hispanic, a person is Asian, Indian, whatever. You do notice those things, but I think that's what we're talking about. It doesn't really, we don't presume that. Now, obviously, we go back in our nation's history, and we've seen a lot of race stuff this year and how much of that with the death of George Floyd and then here locally with Ahmaud Arbery, how that has affected, you know, conversation and that has affected things. So I think we are, Mike, as you said, a little more sensitive to things, okay, there's a certain topic, so I'm going to be aware of that. So I think we need to all understand we're aware of race, we're aware of color, we're aware of distinctions and nationalities and all those things, but that shouldn't shape how we view people. And where it, you look at our nation's past, it definitely did when you said, because you're this color, you can't drink from this water fountain. And you guys know I did the thing on the BLM and KKK last week and how much that spoke into the narrative of older Americans. Mm-hmm. I grew up growing up in Atlanta in the late 70s, early 80s as just a little kid. You know, I remember race stuff, and I remember, and of course there's a lot of words and stuff that I wouldn't dare use today that were used back then. You know, so it makes me realize that I was listening and seeing stuff and not aware that I was kind of, in some ways, kind of being groomed to think a certain way. Yeah. And so that's interesting. With these particular events that have been happening lately, what do you hope comes, I'll go to you, Mike, first. What do you hope comes out of all this for our nation, for people as a whole, you know, with everything we've seen with the Floyd case and the Arbery case and everything else?
I mean, obviously what everyone hopes is that racism will try to be fizzled out and people will be viewed equally. It's kind of gross that it's still stuck around this long, but like you said, it's just, it was a part of people's childhood and it stuck with them, and they were shaped to be viewed a certain way. That's kind of how, well, your critical years, what is it, like 12 to 18 or something like that, where you're kind of shaped on what you think, and this means that, and hopefully people would be more accepting of.
Yeah, they always say about racism that it's not natural.
Nobody's born racist.
Right, it's a taught behavior, and so if we can.
It's like you said forever, if you put a white 1-year-old and a black 1-year-old in a room, they're going to play just fine.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And that is something that we have to, Michael, what are you about you when it comes to what you see and what you would like to see for your generation and then the generations following you, because you guys are actually stepping into that adulthood role now, and you know, so one day if you get married and have kids and all that good stuff,
right.
Yeah, it's getting more terrifying as I talk, right?
Yeah.
But how is that, how are you going to shape that, and what do you hope they come from?
I would say our generation especially is the most woke, quote-unquote, about...
we may have to put definitions in the podcast.
And it means, like, we're the most, like, hyper-conscious and aware of, like, that this is not a good thing, mm-hmm. and that it's also, like, unnatural in a way. So, like, everyone I've ever talked to who is in the realm of my generation is all in the same mindset. Like, we just hope that, like, people will stop being ignorant and choosing to be arrogant towards situations, and that everyone is equal. No, we should all be treated equally, no matter what. And, you know, and so I think I'm not concerned at all for, I guess, our generation. So I think it's actually a good thing that we're all of this mindset. We and again, it's back to the phone thing, since we're always so connected that we have so much information always being poured to us, especially on these topics. So it's not something anyone can literally not be ignorant to.
Yeah.
So I think for the next generation, it'll be, I think, really interesting to see.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think it's going to be great, because I don't really expect there to be much conflict as far as race goes.
Right. Yeah, that's good. And you do see people coming together. And I think that's what I'm hoping that, obviously, as a Christian, when I look at this from, as I always say, a practical and a theological perspective,
mm-hmm.
I hope practically as a people, we see people as individuals, and we see people also unified. That you can be an individual, but also we need unity for all individuals mm-hmm. to come together. But then in the theological side, I hope that the church is woke. you know, I hope the church that wakes up and goes, wait a minute. You know, we're not supposed to be reaching people within a certain class or within a certain race. We're supposed to be reaching all people, because that's exactly how Jesus was.
Yeah.
And he came among a diversity of people and ministered to them, and that we've got to have that same thing. So now that we've talked about race, let's get into a little more easier topic. Let's talk about religion. because
the way lighter.
Yeah, you know, because they always say, you know, there's two things you shouldn't talk about at work is like religion and politics, and you know.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get into the political side today, because y'all, I know my son Michael knows me. I'm tired of the political discussions, and that's actually why you guys aren't on Facebook.
And, yeah.
Because exactly. Either you don't want to hear about COVID or politics, and
yeah, all of the above.
But so Michael Hudson, obviously, I know how you grew up as far as religion.
Yeah, you know it pretty good.
Yeah. I've been the only pastor you've ever had.
That's true, yeah.
So that's a lot. As a matter of fact, we started the church in September of 99, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, September of 99, and you were born in October of 2000. So a year and a month after we had planted the church here. You were born. So this is really kind of what you've always known. But I do know that even in that, you've had to start making. So I'd like to ask you this. How did religion start becoming yours? How did God and all of that start becoming your own belief and your own set of faith instead of just, you know, what mom and dad taught about and the stories they read at night and, you know, all that stuff. I mean, I'm not asking you a specific date,
yeah,
obviously,
no.
But
yeah.
On what day did that happen? But in what ways has it become yours instead of just, you know, the other?
I think it was when I realized that it was, and I to get super spiritual, that God desired relationship more than he did a religion, because you especially see this, like, if you want to go into, like, scripture in the New Testament, he was calling out religious authority then.
Right.
Because I felt for a long time, and partially why I started to, like, really struggle with my faith was because just the realm of religion felt to be bigger than the relationship that you're supposed to pursue with God. I was like, okay, I can't be doing this, can't be doing that. I need to make sure I have this faith when I'm down, and I can't be down because God has in control. So then you kind of beat yourself up for that. If you did feel, like, depressed or you were anxious about something, you're like, I'm not supposed to feel this way. So it was a weird cycle I went through for a while of questioning, I guess, religion. But I do remember it was at camp, was it 2 years ago? Yeah, 2 years ago, whenever I kind of realized and had, like, almost this epiphany of who God was, what he wanted. And I got that closure for myself of what I needed, what I desired, and what I knew Jesus desired for me, and what his whole point to coming and saving everybody was. I'm kind of losing my train of thought.
That's good.
But
no, I understand.
Yeah,
that's good. And I know that is, you know, there's an ever-expansive
It's a whole, there's
yeah.
so many branches to it. But again, it's actually really cliche to say, I would say, especially in this generation of Christians, that it's relationship over religion. But it truly is, and that's something I think we really need to get our heads into as far as witnessing to a generation goes.
So, Mike, obviously I know less about your religious upbringing. I don't know if we've ever actually had a deep conversation about it. So, I'm jumping out on a limb here. So your religious background, kind of where was that? And
so my mom is Catholic, so through elementary school and then through grade 9, I guess it's called middle school here. So my middle school was a Catholic school.
Okay.
And grade 9 until I moved here, I also went to a Catholic high school. And so on paper, I was a very practicing Catholic and very, but in my head, I kind of really didn't buy it, to be honest. And I was never really super into it, and it really fell off when I moved here. And the thing, it wasn't that I didn't like it. I didn't like certain things that were happening, like, in the Catholic Church. Not to hate on Catholic.
I understand.
But it's just, like, some certain things I just didn't agree with. And then when I moved here, it just fell off completely. I think even if you aren't religious, I think religion is a pretty good set of rules for life. Just even the Ten Commandments to follow.
Yeah.
It's helped a lot of people. So, but I'm not super religious myself, to be honest.
Well, I think, and you're right about religion in that sense, it does give a structure. It gives some, I guess, some moral boundaries.
It has from, like, f- forever.
Yeah, know,
for
yeah,
like
yeah,
centuries
absolutely.
Upon centuries, religion
absolutely.
Was the thing. That
in every society
cultures.
That doesn't have any type of moral boundaries is doomed to fail. So there has to be some kind of moral boundaries, and most of our moral boundaries we get from, you know, religion, and specifically the scripture in the sense of the Bible, the Old Testament is where we get a lot of that. What we call the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, is where we get a lot of that from. So when you guys discuss religion, and I know you two guys discuss religion because, you know, being friends, but among your peer groups, among fellow students, coworkers, things like that, how does religion, what does it look like? How often does it come up? Is it something that you have to bring up, or is it just, you know,
personally, I never bring it up.
Yeah.
Just because I think within religion, there's a very loud minority group that causes a lot of problems, especially like with recent things like LGBTQ and all that type of stuff. A lot of people have a very negative connotation towards religion. So I guess being woke, you don't want to bring that up and start drama with people by accident, right?
Yeah, because you're not sure where that's going to go
once you
start talking about it. Yeah, you're right. And I think one thing that religious people have not done well is communicate the idea that, hey, this is, we can talk and we can discuss. We've more or less sometimes said people, this is the line, you have to stand behind it, and if you cross it, you know, shame on you, instead of having just an honest discussion and saying, hey, tell me how you feel. As a matter of fact, my wife and I were talking the other day, and one thing that she tries to do is throw the questions out about religion and just listen. And sometimes in religion, we're not good at doing that. We're not good at listening and hearing what people have to say. So, Michael, in your context, and I know you are similar, but your work group, peer group, you know, how often does religion come up? I know you're probably one of those people that brings it up a lot, aren't you?
All the time, I can't stop. I'm just kidding.
No, but how does that happen in your, you know, viewpoint?
I agree with Michael. It doesn't come up frequently, and I mean it's different now because like the people we work with, we're all very very close, so everyone knows I'm a Christian. We've all had individual conversations about my personal thing, but as far as a work environment or a friend group goes, it doesn't come up much because it is very easy for people, and I know that people assume this about me at work, is that they know me and my brother are Christians, so okay, that means they're very homophobic, probably don't like me because I do this, do that, you know. And not to say that I'm ashamed of it at all, because I'm not, but it's much easier to just kind of not bring it up sometimes,
right,
for the sake of, like he said, not starting drama, people kind of, oh, he's weird, I would say though, as far as the usual religion topic, if it does come up, it's usually mostly like about a church or something like that, because a lot of people I work with and I'm friends with have gone to church at some point, so they have some kind of background with it, their own opinions on church and everything, but it's never really like a in-depth conversation.
Aren't we all people that when the religious conversation happens, it only happens and goes, it's only goes well when there is relationship already established.
When I
try to automatically come at you with, you know, here's my set of beliefs and you don't even know me, you're going to be like, okay, thanks. You know, why are you giving me that information? But if I have a relationship and a friendship with you, and then we get into that conversation, you're going to hear that completely different. And so I would just say to, good grief, every generation, you know, get to know people, love people. Yeah. I mean, if you know people and talk to people, and then you differ on something, and they know that you're genuine and that you're real, they're a whole lot more inclined to say, oh, okay, I know, you know, I may have had a picture of what you people were like, you people, that's a great way, of what you people were like, but now that, you know, I have a relationship, okay, you're not that way, so let me find out more about what you believe and what you think.
Yeah.
And I think that is probably the most helpful, and so I would encourage your generation to be very bold about your beliefs and very bold about what you think, and be able to talk up front about your religious beliefs, but also to be considerate of that. As we said, there is a whole lot of diversity among your peer group that there used to not be among other generations, and which is very true. All right, so I had two questions, Dan, and I gave you guys these questions.
Yeah.
So we'll go back and forth. I don't know who wants to go first. What's the greatest thing about your generation? If I had to say, like, tell
Minecraft.
Me something about Minecraft. Minecraft. So, yeah. I have never grasped Minecraft. I've watched my boys play it for years.
Like 10 years now.
Yeah, the blocks and all that stuff. But so is that the greatest thing about your generation?
No.
No.
It's also the worst.
It's
the best and the worst at the same time.
Yeah.
So what would you say one of the best things about your generation?
Access to information.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly can't imagine living in a world where if I didn't know the answer to something, I couldn't just pull up my phone and find out in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
You had to go
me.
Look through a library.
You had to go get an encyclopedia.
That sounds brutal. Like, how did anything get done?
Have either one of you ever looked in an encyclopedia?
Probably mom school. Made me for like homeschooling or something, but
yeah. And then had to go make a copy of some picture and then print it. And
I still couldn't tell you the difference between a dictionary and a thesaurus.
I can barely say thesaurus.
Exactly. You had to find another word for it.
Yeah.
That was a joke. That was a really good joke right there. Thesaurus, you need to find another word for it.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
And both of you completely missed it. That was just
right over.
That was a powerful joke. Oh, man. Oh.
I thought of a joke earlier. So I was going to say 2001 gang when you were talking about birth year, but I don't think anybody would get it.
No. Oh, that's good. Michael, what about you?
I would say the openness I think everybody has because of the access to information, like everyone's almost like,
yeah,
and it kind of goes back to what I've been saying, everyone's literally on the same page about pretty much everything nowadays because we're all on the same social media sites, we're all seeing the same news, we all have the same opportunity to find stuff, so like if you're ignorant to something then you chose to be,
yeah,
kind of situation. Yeah. So it helps with a lot of honesty and you can have like really deep honest conversations about serious stuff without it come like starting awkwardly, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's very nice to talk to people your age about things that you both can relate to and already have the same mindset on. So
cool.
Yeah.
So we got to get to the worst. What's the worst thing?
Social media addiction, probably.
Yeah.
Everybody's. That seems like such a cop out answer, but it's true. Like,
no. Yeah. I agree.
It's so bad to be constantly like scrolling through it, and you know it's bad but you do it anyway, and comparing your life to other people's and being like, oh, this is why I'm sad I don't have this, I don't have that.
So why do you think we scroll it all the time? Is it like you say, just an addiction? Is it just bored and we got to find some, you know?
I think it's a bit of everything. It's boredom, addiction, but it's also nobody shows the bad stuff on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do when like someone dies or whatever, but
right. Yeah, but it's the persona that we want to put out there. Yeah. And what's funny is we know everybody's doing that. We still buy into it.
Yeah.
I mean, we look at some picture on Instagram and we're like, oh, man, I wish I had that life. And we know that person doesn't have that life.
Yeah.
We work with the person and we seem like they don't look like that, you know, that's not what their car looks like, you know, but we still buy into it. No, that's good. Michael, what about you? Worst thing about our generation?
I would say it's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I would take it a different route and say, though, because we're so plugged in, that we just constantly see all these great things and we all follow our favorite celebrities and all that stuff. So and with stuff like TikTok and YouTube, everyone has this huge desire, especially young people, to be famous or go viral in some kind of way. And that it's quite literally like selling their soul to get any sort of relevancy as far as the internet goes. And that's where you can have a whole other conversation about like cancel culture and all that,
right,
where anybody does one bad thing and then, oh, look, I'm calling this person out. You know, we need to shut them down. Like, it's this horrible social media addiction where we have to constantly be have an opinion and be plugged in and say the most outrageous things or do the most wild thing or have, you know, the craziest post for,
you can
5 minutes of happiness.
Yeah, you can become famous overnight and you can be destroyed overnight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's
because everything is right there. And like you said a while ago, everybody sees it because we all have access to it. And so, oh, you know, one day you can celebrate that guy, and the next day, you think about people, obviously he's older than you guys, but you think about people like Kanye, you know, I mean, Kanye one day, he's going to be the next president. And the next day,
no,
that guy's crazy, you know, yeah. Which, I mean, we kind of knew that already. But, right. I mean, it, but in, you yeah. know. And, I'm
and I would say it's also because, like, that makes them people not be satisfied with the simple life they have. Mm-hmm. So, like, because they're always wanting to have this famous, so, like, kids then get depression. Yeah. They're anxious all the time because, oh, I'm not this pretty. I don't look like this. I don't have these friends. Oh, I'm not this funny. I'm not this famous. I can't sing, rap, dance as well. So it's this whole toxic
thing. That's
a
whole topic for your generation, anxiety. Yeah. And I know I've addressed that some with youth here. But I mean,
like, all that has so many different branches to it you could talk
about. And so and anxiety happens in every generation, but it's just how we treat it and how we elevate it. So, but guys, awesome. Thank you all for just jumping in here and being open and vulnerable. and now you'll be, I don't know if you'll be podcast famous. I don't know if that's like TikTok famous, but, you know, maybe you'll be podcast famous now. And but then everybody will have access to everything about you. And so,
you
know, do y'all need to give your Instagram handles, you know, or anything like
that?
You know, if you needed to give anything like that. If you have a TikTok page, we would love to see that. I would love to see, you know, doing your TikTok dances. Do y'all do TikTok dances?
I don't record videos of my dogs.
Of your dog? Yeah.
I have a page, but I don't post anything. I just watch funny videos.
Yeah. So what I'm understanding is you guys lurk a lot on these things.
Pretty much.
That's the rest of the world. Yeah. Most people just don't admit it. Most people just don't admit it. So, but thank you guys for being a part of today, and thanks for just jumping in here. And it's been a lot of fun. And if you're listening to this, you know, I was going to say go hug a Gen Z, but I don't know if we can do that in COVID right now. And I don't know if they'd want you to. You know, but just understand there are differences in every generation, but one thing that happens is that I've learned over the years, God wants us to have unity, and that is oneness and not sameness. We're not all the same. We're not all the same, but we can be one. And just remember that we all can. And I'm going to say something before I hit the podcast song that most of you will not get, but these two guys will, and I'm going to close it out with these words: I lost the game.